looking at the fillies that we had here as two-year-olds. Now there'll be another group come through, early three-year-olds. I think she'll measure up pretty well.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing her in August, Whispering Brook. Dean, we hear you on the radio through the week with us and on Saturdays from the races. You obviously do all your form like all of the experts, but how important do you, just following up on what Gary says, in your eye, how they look in the mounting yard on race day?
Oh, it's really important to get that across to the listeners in the last few minutes. Because I tip in the morning or, you know, and through Melbourne and Sydney radio, I tend not to change my tips, but if I see one that's within my tips I don't think looks well as it can, I'll mention that. Yeah. Or if there's one outside of my tips that looks really well, I'll mention that. But I think it would be frustrating for the listeners, for me at 9:20 with you, to say this will win and then at 2:00 say this will win.
Yeah.
I don't tend to change, Andrew, but I do like to highlight things from the yard, and it's crucial. I mean, you can do all the work you like and you can be so deflated when they come into the mounting yard.
And I guess it can work the other way, where you might not have been keen on something and then it walks into the yard and looks spectacular into your eye.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And then the perfect storm is when you really like one and they come in and they look the best, then you double up.
Yes. Hopefully that works more often than not. What are the key points when you're, say, let's just say the fields come out? I know you're probably looking at, I'm working towards a Saturday meeting.
Yeah.
So Monday the noms come out. Do you start looking at them Monday or not?
I'll have a quick scan of, you have races in your head that you think, oh, that horse will be heading that way, and you just want to see if they've been nominated. But I don't, because we've got three nominations down here and they just...
It's too many.
They throw them in everything.
So your big day's Wednesday.
Wednesday's my main day. The fields come out. The first thing I do is I get the fields, put them into... I've got a program that I've developed that puts the horses into barrier draw order, and from there we start with the speed maps, the gear changes, as Gary mentioned, and first of all get a race structure and let's see where they all sit in place, and then redo the videos, look at significant, you know, weight changes, rider changes. The one thing I like to look at is look at a horse and say, is this the race that it's been set for? Is this grand final day? Is this the one that the trainer's been working towards, or is this just a stepping stone, or is this an afterthought? And try and see if they're going to be, you know, in the absolute best of their form. And that's something that, you know, I think that's very subjective, but it's something that I like to try and do.
And do you get a feel on a trainer?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. I said with you on Saturday morning, the first winner, RTD2, when Darren Weir wins a race with a debutant, they'll just improve. They're never really screwed down to win first start. So if you see one of his horses win first up, you know that they're going to be a lot better second up. Usually his horses are peaking fourth and fifth run in. So, they're the sort of idiosyncrasies you look for. You've got certain ones in your mind. You're wary of a trainer like Mick Kent. They can not have raced for 18 months and they'll be in a 2,000-metre race, but you're wary of them because they're the sort of things he likes to do.
Then the announcements, I mean, a lot of information goes out to the punter, and then I guess it's up to them how they relate, whether they want to listen to it or not, as in... tactic changes. How important have they become to you?
I would say that 80% of the tactics changes I can predict, because you see a horse up in distance. And I think it's really important because not everyone has the time and the luxury that I have to do the form and understand what's going on. So for the announcements to come through, most of them I go, yep, that's in keeping with what I thought, that's in keeping.
Mm.
There was one on Saturday, the race that Shocker Mole won. There was just no leader in the race, with the exception maybe of a horse called Serity. And the blinkers have been taken off Serity, so you're a little bit wary that whether he'd lead or not. And then they made the announcement they're going to ride him back. Well, he was a long shot anyway, but he went from a long shot to absolutely no chance. So they're the ones I like to take a lot of notice of. And when a horse is because you can sort of visualise if they've been drawing wide and they go back and then they draw a good barrier, you nearly can see that the trainer's going to take advantage of that good draw. So they're the ones that are probably self-explanatory, but there's a few that you'd certainly prick the ears up at.
Mm. is there, just finally, is there one key point that you can tell our listeners that you really focus in on? Is something that they could maybe learn from you?
Oh, look, I think race structure, I think...
The speed maps.
Speed maps and just where horses are going to be. I mean, it's all very well to say, you know, A, B, C have all got speed, but how then the riders, who's got the most intent, who's going to do what, and... The thing is, especially in evenly graded races, not a good horse will overcome a wide draw, cover ground and win, but these evenly graded, say 78 grade races on a Saturday, where there's probably three lengths in ability between 10 horses, the positioning in running is everything. So the one that gets that flowing run into the race will be the one that just has that enough on the day to win. So I put a lot into making sure that the one that I tip, I envisage getting a pretty good run, especially in those very evenly graded races.
Understand. Hey, good to have you on, mate. I think Mark's on later. Mark Hunter will be looking at Bendigo today for us, and we'll have you tomorrow and into the weekend. We look forward to it. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, Andrew.
Dean Lester there. A few more of our form analysts. John Scorse is going to join us next Thursday, one of them, so we look forward to having a chat with John. That's it for Racing HQ. After the break, it's Tab Talk. We're going to talk about the State of Origin, sadly, and also talk with jockey Tim Clark.
A huge jackpot has landed. This Saturday, there's a $25,000 Big Six jackpot at Royal Randwick. First leg is race 4 at 110. Plus, this Sunday, there's a $50,000 first 4 jackpot on the Len Smith Mile at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, and a $10,000 Big Six jackpot on the Saddle Up Sunday meeting at Coonamble. So get your mates together and have a crack at your local tab. Tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
I know Sean Cosgrove, the host of Tab Talk, is in the chair. I can see him. He's ready to go for Tab Talk, but he's also preparing for the Sydney Spring because he's got a horse called In Vienna who could easily make races during the Sydney Spring. And, Sean, I need you to go to the webpage and please just don't take it for granted, Sean. Never take things for granted. We need you to go in and click on so you'll get the hospitality packages that you and your group of owners all want. So the webpage for you, Sean, jot it down. I can see you.
Yes.
theatc.com.au. What is it?
theatc.com.au.
That's it. Now jot it down because we're in the middle of winter, but spring jumps into action come September, and time will evolve very, very quickly. So make sure you do it, Sean, because I know you've got a large group of owners, and we want you to be in the most comfortable position when In Vienna storms to victory during the spring.
What have you been on this morning?
Go to theatc.com.au.
Have you been on some sort of mind-altering tea?
It's called ad-libbing.
Ad-libbing.
Back with you in a moment.
Bingley's end of financial year celebration sale is in full swing with massive deals to be had. Come in and grab a bargain while stocks last during Bingley's biggest sale of the year.
G'day, Adam McDougall here. Are you over 30 and want to lose some weight but don't have time? Well, you need the Man Chunk. 10-minute workout and an easy-to-follow meal plan with no gym required. Just give me 10 minutes a day and I'll give you the results you want. Starts Monday, so join now at themanchallenge.com.au.
Why are schools telling boys they can wear girls' uniforms? If a boy feels like he's a girl, should schools be telling him he can be a girl? Find out what controversial sex education programs are really teaching your kids at school. Go to kidsrights.org.au. Spoken by C. Elliott, authorised T. Kelleher, the Australian Family Association, Bourne.
Hasn't Club Condal Park come up a treat? New catering outlets to suit all tastes. New bar, tab and kino facilities. Even a kids entertainment room. And to celebrate the relaunch, there's heaps of activities including Friday's Super Members Night with a 5k cash draw. Big Sports Saturday with Boxing's Billy the Kid Dip from 2pm. And Family Fun Day Sunday from noon with stacks of activities for the kids. Don't miss a minute at Club Condal Park, 178 Elbridge Road.
Yurrabee Stud presents world champion Warrawee Needy, equal fastest horse in the history of harness racing, 146.4. Fastest two-year-old in Ontario Sire Stakes history, winner of more than 29 races and $1.25 million. He was one of the fastest and most exciting pacers of the last decade. Warrawee Needy. Book now. Yurrabee.com.au.
are off.
Gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished the MotoGP at Phillip Island.
The very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. Sue and Cosgrove and Andrew George here at tab.com.au. Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Cosy. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Thanks for an old banana bender.
You'd be extremely delighted this morning then.
Well, yeah, look, it was the thing I liked was it wasn't a close fought game. It was a good game. A couple of times the other, hang on, we were in a bit of strife here. The old Maroons, when the Blues really did come back. It was funny talking the other day with Buzz Rossfield, and he said they're going to open the game up of any thought. And I sort of piped up and said, yeah, I love that because it's quick and you often get a few intercepts. And there were one for each, which was exciting to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And the playing styles of both teams were in stark contrast to what we saw in game one, for sure.
Yeah, it was very defensive, that first one. This one, they threw the ball around and had a real good crack. And there were, I mean, you've got to admit, the Blues were a bit stiff there when that ball was just sort of knocked forward over the line and there was a try gone begging.
Yeah, that's right, Cozzy. I thought several calls went against the Blues throughout game. But look, at the end of the day, you know, you make your own luck. Unfortunately, this Blues team probably needed the rub of the green to go their way in order to get over the Queenslanders. It wasn't meant to be, and we saw once again why that Queensland team is so very, very good.
Yeah, well, our guest this morning's going to join us now, and I think he was almost born with one foot either side of the border, but quickly got to the Queensland side, and that's Billy Moore, absolute legend. Morning, Billy.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Oh, good. Hey, I saw a lovely quote from you where you said, they rushed you over the border into Queensland before you had time to breathe New South Wales air.
Yeah, that's right. So you're wonderful listeners. I've got to paint the picture a little bit. I come from a little country town called Wallangarra. I lived my whole life there. That's where my family are from. And it's a border gate town. And my house, which is still in my family, is 50 metres to the Queensland side of the border. But there's no hospital in the town of that size. So the nearest hospital was Tenterfield, New South Wales. So as you just said, my mother said I was born there, but she rushed me back across the border before the ox had time to infect my lungs.
Mum was obviously a fair dinkum of her own as well.
Yeah, she was, but she played Queensland netball, so obviously she had the Maroon pumping through her veins. But yet again, we saw a wonderful instalment of Origin last night. Obviously, I'm sitting from the perspective of the winner's side, but it was still a ripping game of football. And New South Wales, yet again, I think you just talk about that touch which almost went New South Wales. Had that been a try, and even though it wasn't, but had it been able to be scored, the whole thing could have turned on its head then and there.
Yeah. I thought Greg Inglis, we were talking about it before the game, whether or not his sort of season this season hasn't really been what we would have expected, but he really stepped up, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, mate. He's one of those guys, he reminds me so much of Melvin Ingram in many ways. The last thing you wanted to do with either of those two players is to stir them up verbally or physically and make them switch on. Because when Greg Inglis gets angry and asks poor Dylan Walker, he's virtually unstoppable. And he obviously gave young Dylan Walker a bit of a workover last night. So, yeah, Inglis showed why he's regarded as the premium outside back in our game, and he was wonderful to watch. He was one of several good players on both sides of the park, though.
Billy, where does this Queensland team go now? I mean, like, there are a lot of veterans in the side, and many thought that maybe this was the year that the Blues would finally get over the top of them. But next year, 2017, they are going to be a year older. Do they have many more Origin Series wins left in them?
That's a great question. Well, obviously, Kevin Walters, Queensland Rugby League, are very aware of the succession planning that needs to take place over the next couple of years. And from what I can gather, the big three, in the form of Cronk, Thurston and Smith, they don't want to pull the curtain down on their Origin careers. And that's wonderful to hear them say that. Because my theory is, gentlemen, you don't give your jersey up to another player to come and have. They've got to come and take it. So if any of those young aspiring Queenslanders that want to wear the seven, 6 and 9 for Queensland. Those three blokes want to play as long as Father Time is going to let them. And I think they've all come out, Smith especially come out and said he wants to play to 2018. So we're looking at another 24 months. Can he do it? Well, there's no reason for what I've seen last night and over the course of this season to think that Smith's any lesser player than he was 3, 4, 5 years ago. So he's still pumping them out. Thurston and Cronk, well, I thought they had a bit of a tougher night last night. They were still there when the whips were cracking. So they were good. But to answer your question, I think the core of the team still has at least 12, maybe 24 months to go. And this is where Kevin Waller's main role will be, to slot into that makeup, that framework of what's been a great dynasty, to keep it rolling. The young brigade coming through, the Milfords, the Munsters, the Valentine Holmes. There's a plethora of names. They're waiting to come in. You've got Moses Embiid from Canterbury. You've got Jake Granville from the Cowboys. So you've got these young aspiring guys who want to get in, but they're being held at bay because these guys don't want to leave. They want to keep staying there and winning, which is great for Queensland.
Billy, I thought Jack Bird for the Blues showed some real good glimpses.
Yeah. Agreed, mate. I was very nervous about him. He's X-Factor. I term it very loosely. He's got that gunslinger look about him. He comes out, he's confident. He knows he's got the ammo. He knows he can hurt any team, anywhere, at any time. And that sort of confidence that he uses, I don't call it arrogance. It's called that he knows he's got a skill set which is very, very good. And I think he justifies his selection. I thought Tyson Frizzell as well, who was very handy as well. So New South Wales have these young guys chomping at the bit, waiting to get in there. And Laurie, to his credit, is blooded. I think with Frizzell, that might be the sixth blooding this year. And all those young guys, they're holding their own. But I go back to my first point. The difference between the two sides of mine is our 9-7-6. They're just three of the greatest players of all time playing in the same team at the same time. And they just have the composure. So if we need points, we can find them. And if we have to close the game out, they know how to shut it down.
Billy, for mine, Laurie Daly's been heavily criticised over the last two seasons. And for mine, I think he's been unfairly treated by many sections of the media. What does he do for Game 3? And also, you touched on succession plans. What do New South Wales have to do looking ahead?
Yeah, great question. Well, the first part of that question, Laurie Daly, he's between a rock and a hard place, because we go back a couple of years ago, everybody was saying New South Wales need to show the loyalty that Queensland show their players. And people were saying, they keep chopping and changing and turning over the players. So Laurie's come in and one of the mantras he's had when he started, Kenny, his coaches, no, I'm picking a side and I'm staying rock solid and loyal with them. Now we've got the other side of the spectrum where people go, why are you staying loyal to these blokes who can't win? So he's really had a very tough time in trying to appease the public and saying that Laurie's his own man. He's not listening to those sort of people. But I understand where he and some people could get frustrated. But it is an interesting point that you've raised. The series is lost, and Paul Gowan is hanging his boots up. Does he get picked in Game 3? Because is it time now to go, well, thanks, Gal, you've been a wonderful player in our team. Forget about the fact that we haven't won many series while you've been the captain, but he has been a wonderful player. But do we now go Bryce Cartwright? Do we start to slot in these other young players? That's a question I don't know, only Laurie can answer that one. But I will say this. History is the best guide to what people could or should do. If you remember, Queensland were there on the back of losing a couple of series and the hand grenade moment when Brian Fletcher threw it at the New South Wales team. They all fell over. I think it was the early 2000s. New South Wales had thumped Queensland by 50-odd points. The next series, Wayne Bennett came in and they picked 10 rookies. And it wasn't long after that that this Queensland dynasty was born and bred. So if something doesn't keep doing the same thing and it doesn't work, maybe it's time for a change. So I'll be interested to see what Laurie does and how he plays it out, because New South Wales in a situation where this game coming up, they can't win the series, so maybe it is time to experiment and blood a few more new ones, because the ones he has blooded have worked really well.
Billy, if you were Laurie Daly, would you do that? Would you say to some of the young guys, right, here's a chance for you. We're not going to win the series, but get out there and show us what you can do.
Yeah, I probably would, actually. I think it's time to do that. I'd throw caution to the wind. And I think he would hate to do that day to Paul Gallen. So that would be an interesting one for him because he's been such a good servant in New South Wales. But as I said, if you keep doing the same things, you're probably going to get the same result. And it would be a good time to experiment. Steve Mortimer told me a story last night, which is probably very poignant. They won the series, their first Origin series win in 85, if you can recall back then. And in 84, he said the platform was laid because game three was a dead rubber because Queensland were up 2-0. He said, well, I was made some wholesale changes, brought in some rookies for their game three. They actually won it in 84, which made the series 2-1 to Queensland. But he said that was actually the platform that helped them win the next year's series and was the first series New South Wales had won. So maybe there's a little bit of merit in that, thinking along those lines that while this series is dead, the game in 3 weeks is paramount to lay the platform to take the side of victory in 2017.
Billy, would you be willing to take the $1.85 for New South Wales to win Game Three, or would you rather be taking the $2 for Queensland to make it the clean sweep?
Well, I think the clean sweep would be where I'd be putting my money, especially until I know exactly what New South Wales' mindset's going to be and who they pick. One thing I can say for Queensland is they treasure a clean sweep. They're very few and far between. I had the pleasure of playing in one in 95. I think it was the third one in history when it was done. So I played in one. It was the greatest night to win 3-0 and the celebration we had on our home turf. The next year, I was a victim of a whitewash and it was so deflating. As I just said before, New South Wales could use this game to be the platform to launch a massive campaign for next year. Queensland know that. And every game counts. There's no such thing as a good loss for Queensland. They will want to basically put New South Wales to the sword. And anybody, if they decide to blood new players in 3 weeks' time, Queensland will want to leave a little bit of a mental scar on those young players and any combinations that New South Wales throw up. So Queensland won't take their foot off the throat. So I'll be putting my money on a $2 Queensland clean sweep, boss.
Mm. Hey, got to ask you, Billy, what was it like that year when you were walking out through the tunnel yelling out Queenslander?
Outstanding. best 4 seconds of my life. I wasn't even on the footy field.
Billy, was that something that you had predetermined in your mind that you were going to do, or was it just something that came into your mind, spur of the moment, as you were walking down the tunnel?
Mate, well, the narrative for your listeners, so you got to take it back to 1995, Super League War Rages. We can't pick players from Queensland side can't pick players from Brisbane, Canterbury or Canberra. So there's the bulk of our team. No Langer, no Walters, no Mick Hancock. You know, there's no Steve Renoff. There's no, these superstars are out. We've had a blood 9 rookies. We're in the chain sheds at the Sydney Football Stadium and the New South Wales crowd is baying for our blood. They can't lose. They've got 12 current internationals from the 94 Kangaroo Tour at their side. We've got none. And Gary laughs and looks at me and his beautiful dusky dulcetone voice goes, please, you better give them some of that Queenslander stuff. The rookies, they're a bit nervous. Like, Queenslander. I whipped everybody into a frenzy. All 17 of us are screaming Queenslander. We've turned, we've walked down the race onto the field, and Channel 9, for the first ever time, put a camera in the tunnel. We didn't even know it was there. And that's the greatest thing in my career took place. The other 16 blokes shut up, and I've been living off it ever since.
That's fantastic. Hey, Billy, I had to chuckle before when you said about your mum couldn't wait to get you over the border. My dear old mum got to 101. The greatest time of the year for her was State of Origin. She just loved it. And every time afterwards, we'd have a yarn, and she'd say, oh, I'm a bit worried. It's getting so rough. And I'd say, what was the best part, Mum? All the fights. She just loved it when there's a bit of biffo going on.
Oh, you're right. It's funny when you actually had a game and a little bit of push and shove happens, but they also don't throw the punches anymore.
No.
People who jump up and make the most noise are the women in the stands. They love it.
Well, she did. She was nudging the tongue, she thought it was great.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that the game's so sanitised these days that we don't see that anymore.
Yeah, it's funny. The game's so fast and frenetic, they're so athletic. But yeah, when I was a young kid, Mullingar, I used to come home for training. You'd watch Origin, especially in the early years. You just knew it was mandatory in the first 5 minutes that it was going to be an all-in blue, didn't you? And you just glued for it. And then I remember Fatty Borden, we had an all-in blue in 95 and we knew it was coming. And Fatty said to us, he goes, that's fine. When it starts, get in and help your mate. And if all you're involved, that's fine by me. And he said, the side that switches back on and plays footy always wins post-fight. And it's funny, that's how it works, is you can have the brutality and I suppose the anthropic sort of mindset, but it is the one that switch back on and go, hey, we need to actually play rugby league to win this match. They're always the side that used to win the games.
Billy, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you this morning, mate. We really appreciate your time and good to reminisce as well.
Thanks, lads. And, it was another great instalment of Origin. Can't wait for Game 3.
Terrific, Bill. Billy Moore, absolute legend, joining us there this morning, looking back at State of Origin last night. Timmy Clark joins us now. He's got a good book of rides today at Newcastle. Andrew, morning. Tim, how are you?
Morning, Cozzy.
It's good that you were State of Origin out. Did you watch last night?
Yes, I did.
Not a lot of enthusiasm there, Tim?
No, I think we'll be better on talking about the race.
Okay, we'll move on to the second today at Newcastle. Silom Road, Gary Moore, it's had one run. You've ridden both times, and they put a nose roll on it today.
Yeah, I think he'll really appreciate the step up to 1350 today. Just the 1100 at Wyong is a little bit sharp for him. Thought he hit the line well, though. He sort of got a little bit unbalanced and a bit lost still. He's only still lightly raced and still learning about it. But Gary's put the nose roll on him today, so hopefully this sort of helps him flatten out a bit. So the 1350, bigger track, definitely two positives for him and looks a suitable race for him.
Dubar in race three is stepping up to, the 1150 goes a bit further, the 1200. Have you ridden this at all before? On looking at form, you haven't been on it.
No, I haven't, Cozzy. This will be the first time I've ridden her and hit the line well at test night. Looked as though she's a bit green there, so I'm sure with the race under his belt, he's going to improve just with that experience. He gets back to his home track today, which is also a positive. So hopefully, he's taken a bit out of that run. He's drawn a nice gate. Should be able to get an okay run and hopefully he can hit the line and run well again.
I reckon one of the interesting rides today is in the fourth, and that's Bella Sublime for Damien Lane. Up to 1200, the blinkers go on, a tongue tie goes on, it's drawn the rails. Its mother, Joe Pride, trained, and it absolutely used to hit the ground and go quick and off and lead. And this is showing a bit of pace.
Yeah, she has shown a bit of speed. Did weaken out of it a little bit last start, so... hopefully the blinkers and the tongue tie can do the trick and turn her form around a little bit. She's starting her career sort of later on. She's a four-year-old now and she only had a couple of runs. So hopefully, today she can show a bit more with the blinkers and tongue tie on. A few gear changes, drawing a good barrier. So they're all positives for her.
And then race five, you're on Art Nouveau for Godolphin. And interesting, this prep has got back a little bit in its races, but the previous prep, it raced very handy.
Yeah, didn't begin great the other day, so and was forced to race back. So hopefully today I can get him out a bit cleaner and have him up a bit closer to the speed. He's a very consistent horse. He's only won the one from 10, but he's run quite a few minor placings, generally never beaten far, and they've been in city grade as well. So a little bit of a step back in grade for him here, going back to Newcastle, a class two at Newcastle. And with that run under his belt, he should strip a bit fitter. Looks an ideal race for him. Yeah, just a matter of as long as I can give him a trouble-free run, he should be right in the finish.
Interesting day, because you've got a couple that might improve with gear changes, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. They all look well placed. That's for sure. They look like they've found suitable races. A few gear changes. A few of them are still lightly raced too. Mm. So there's still a bit of upside to them and a bit of improvement to them. So hopefully they can go to the races and perform well.
And Tim, I tell you what, Saturday you're not going to have much time to put your feet up. You've got a full book, nine rides.
Yeah, no. busy day, so looking forward to that. There's some good chances amongst them too. So hopefully this good weather continues, the track can dry out a bit, and we can have a good day on Saturday and have a bit of luck.
I reckon people would do far worse than to follow you Saturday looking at your rides. There's nearly every one of them's a damn good chance.
Yeah, no, they all look nice chances. They've all been racing well, and there's a couple there that have won a couple in a row and race without luck. So most of them are for our leading trainers as well, which is always good. So looking forward to Saturday. They look a strong book, but hopefully we can get the ball rolling today and get a couple of winners. To Newcastle and roll into the weekend.
Is there one you can single out today?
Today, I thought Art Nouveau was probably my best ride today. Just probably ahead of Salem Road. So they thought they looked the two better ones, and hopefully I can have a bit of luck leading into Saturday.
All right, terrific. Good to catch up as always, Tim. Good luck today and Saturday.
No worries. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Tim Clark, he's got some good rides today and Saturday too, Andrew.
Yeah, that's right, Cozzy. Interesting that Timmy singled out Art Nouveau, currently at $2.70 and favourite in that race 5 today at Newcastle, while our bookies have kept Salem Road very, very short in the market. They're $3 in race 2, so maybe that's one to keep an eye on early on at Newcastle.
Yeah, terrific. Good on you, Andrew. We'll talk to you through the day.
Cheers, Cozzy.
Okay, we'll be off to New Zealand shortly to Oamaru, 28 to 11, Sky Sports Radio.
Have you been thinking, one day I should upgrade my business equipment? Well, that one day is Thursday, June 23rd at Bingley. You can take advantage of the small business tax deductions for this financial year for purchases up to $20,000 by eligible businesses. And you'll get a bonus Bingley 10% gift card on all purchases over $200 for one day only, Thursday, June 23rd, and we're open late. Fit out your office and get a 10% bonus gift card from Bingley on purchases over $200 for one day only at Bingley. Tax law can be complex, so check the eligibility of your purchase for accelerated depreciation before you purchase.
Sydney Spring Carnival is back this September at Royal Randwick and Rose Hill Gardens. Indulge yourself this spring with a premium hospitality package offering first-class dining in luxurious surrounds. Plus, with